Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome back to the Dropship Podcast. Today, I'm joined, without Ben, by Jaden. If you've been a listener to the podcast for some time, you will have, of course, have seen Jaden or heard Jaden before, as it were. Jaden first joined us on the show on episode 189. At that stage, he was 10 months into his dropshipping journey. So you can go back and listen to that. It's a pretty cool story. 10 months to $750,000 in revenue or sales on his first high-ticket dropshipping business. And he joined us again on episode 221 to talk about dropshipping in the UK. Jaden is, of course, based in the UK. And we've got you back again now, Jaden. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I know. Glad to be back. I'm excited.
Yeah, and so as I mentioned, the first time we talked to you was back in episode 289, and you were 10 months in. You're now, what, a year and a half or nearly a year and a half?
Yeah, that sort of mark, getting towards there. It's absolutely flown by.
Yeah, and we were talking before the show, you're also in that time of gone full-time with dropshipping, which when did that happen? Just to refresh people's memory, when did that happen?
That was pretty much dead on when I was on the podcast. So it was about that 10-month mark, which was way beyond my expectations. When I started out, I sort of thought, well, to be honest, I said I was happy for it to take as long as it takes. I was at that breaking point where I was like, I can't do this corporate job for the rest of my life. I have to make a change. So, but I think internally, I always sort of hoped it would be within maybe a year and a half. That was probably the best case I would let myself believe. I always try and tell myself to look further in the future. And that's what I was always trying to say to myself. Look, if it takes 5 years, if you're in your whatever mid-30s and you're not working a corporate job that you hate, would you take that? Yeah, of course. But, you know, internally, you always want it a bit quicker. You know, we struggle to look at things on what I do anyway, on any more than maybe like a 1 or 2 year time scale. So, yeah, about 18 months was the dream, I suppose. So, yeah, when that happened inside a year, that was pretty cool. And then I think, I'm just trying to remember the timeline, but I know I'd pretty much I was either working my notice or I was out by the point that we recorded that podcast. Mm. And then my partner very shortly after as well left her job to join the business. So it's the two of us now full time. And it was a cool moment, actually. I was chatting to someone who's considering joining the course last week. And last week, my partner and I, we were over in Paris just having sort of a few days out there. And I signed onto the call from my hotel room and said, hey, like, you know, and, you know, we're chatting. And she was, oh, so funnily enough, I listened to your podcast episode this morning. One of the things you said you were excited for was being able to just go, yeah, next week, let's just go to Paris or here or whatever. And she was like, so good to see you're actually doing it. And I was like, oh, that's quite a nice full circle moment. Yeah, so that's a goal achieved. So yeah, that was a cool moment. So yeah, the two of us full time now. So lives look very, very different to what they did this time last year.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. That's kind of living the dropshipping dream almost, I've got to say. I mean, we don't promote it much, but I think that was kind of how it was sold to me when I started 10 years ago. It was kind of like, yeah, you'll be traveling the world in a hotel room doing your business and stuff in, you know, I don't know that I'd call Paris an exotic location, but, you know, kind of exotic for a lot of people. And, you know, that's really cool, man. What was it like? Because I mean, I know from my perspective, like, and from my experience, making that jump from, you know, your full-time career or that sort of thing into, you know, your own business was, you know, at least for me, it was a pretty nerve-wracking experience. But that must have gone up a bit when your partner jumped out of hers as well. Because like now, this is it for both of you guys. how's that going? Is it like, how does that feel? What was your thinking there when that kind of came about? Like, I guess like, How did you, I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of people think that they want to go through that phase of, you know, jumping from whatever they're doing into drop shipping. And that's kind of, I think, what most people get into it to achieve. The question we get a lot is like, how do you make that decision? What did you think about when you're making that decision? To do it yourself, but also like to have both of you in that zone as well, and kind of have your business as the sole, as your sole income for both of you, if you like.
Are you ready to finally take that next step? Finally start your business, make 2024 the year that you take a step forward in your life. Well, I'm going to make it super easy on you. We're running an end of the year sale, and we're doing so for a few reasons. One, the price is going up next year. We are changing our prices. And two, because we are adding a bunch more to the course. So if you sign up now, you will get all of the extra stuff in the course at a price you will never see again. I can promise you that. We are updating the GA4 section, the Google Ads sections, a whole new SEO section, and a whole bunch of new videos from Layton, from Mindset Coach Valentina, and other people who are going to help us put content into this course. So if you're looking to get an edge on 2024, get access to that new content at a much lower price, and grab this course at a price you'll never see again, make sure you check out our end of year sale, dropshipbreakthrough.com/end of year, all one word, dropshipbreakthrough.com/end of year.
Yeah. So it's funny. I found it a lot easier making the decision or with her for her to give up and come and join the business than I did making the decision for myself to do that first bit of leaving the job. My partner's done bits and bobs on the business, but you know, just to help me out here and there. But really, this has been something that I have worked on to the point that she joined full time. She'd, you know, sort of not really touched the business at all. So mm-hmm. It was always natural that I would give up first, of course. I would say I delayed that decision probably more than I needed to. I was probably overcautious. And when I look back, I ummed and ahed and, you know, created all manner of, you know, Excels and whatever else that make you feel comfortable with this stuff. And I look back now and I'm like, what were you doing? Like, you had like a year's worth of income, and not to mention like the business was at a point where it was paying my salary anyway. I was like, why did you need such a huge safety net? And I look back actually and think I probably caused myself 3 or 4 months of unnecessary stress where the business is really busy, work was really busy, and I was like trying to do the two together. But hey, you know, whatever, you learn. At least I got to give up. I would say I probably pushed it beyond the point that I needed to, but at least mm-hmm. that meant I could give up with a nice big safety net, which was cool. And then our plan was always to get my partner out of work as well, because the reason we wanted to do this is to spend more time together. It was our entire goal. But the view was more that we would get her out of work and she would work on something that was her own, whatever, I suppose, word you want to use, you know, muse or something that made her fulfilled and passionate. Yeah. But she wasn't enjoying her job at all. She was having a really miserable time at work. And we just had the conversation and just said, look, does this really make sense for you to, we had this idea that, you know, maybe in another 6 months or a year, she would come on board and then she would just have the headspace to find whatever it was that was going to make her fulfilled. And because, you know, dropshipping's never been her primary sort of interest. Sure. Yeah. But yeah, we're just there chatting and saying, look, we've got the fortune of both of us were working these jobs while we were running the business. So naturally you build up a really nice sort of store of profits. We had, you know, probably a year's worth of household income. We're like, just doesn't seem to make sense for you to be miserable and for us to delay living this life that we want. I mean, even just in the 3 months, and that's what makes us happy, right? Travel is what makes us happy. We love being away together and experiencing new things. So, you know, we've been lucky enough to go and spend a couple of weeks in Barcelona. And a lot of those days just look like working days, but from a cafe or whatever. So, you know, not just traveling the world on holiday, you know, picking the laptop up once for half an hour a day. Like some of the days we would do a full working day, and then others would be like, you know what, let's not pick the laptop at all. So yeah, it was a tough decision for me because it was so alien and it was almost this pipe dream. It was like, wow, this has actually happened in a pretty short time scale because those 10 months flew by. For her, it was much easier. It was like, yeah, there's no point in delaying this. You know, you're not happy. I remember how it feels to be deeply unhappy in a corporate job. Let's not delay. Let's go ahead and do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. I think, has there been any anxious moments along the way?
Has there been any non-anxious moments along the way? I'm a nightmare. Anyone who's close to me who maybe listens to this is probably like chuckling to themselves because I name the anxiety. I like to dabble in it. Yep. Financial, you know, work, whatever it is. So yeah, heaps of them. Which it's just a learning experience, right? It's probably actually been the thing I've struggled most with this entire journey. 100%. It being on me and being on us, and you know, I think it's a little bit false, the security that comes with that corporate job. I think actually, in some respects, there's greater security in having your own successful business and your own repertoire of skills that you can monetize in loads of different ways. But there's no doubt when the steady income's coming in, you feel untouchable. And then, you know, when it's all on you, you feel this probably irrational fear that, you know, it's more vulnerable. 100%. The biggest thing that I found that helps me is trying to fall in love with building and being a student. And that I find, so I've really tried to stop looking at what's happening right now. And I guess I've been fortunate, right, that the business has been quite financially successful, quite consistently. So I haven't yet had those really tough times, and maybe the anxiety will ramp up if that business does go through a tough period. But for right now, I try not to think about what's happening right now. And I try and think about just commit to what you're going to achieve in 6 months, because I guess I've got the first year's worth of like proof of concept of that. I sort of took the leap of faith when I first started the business, and I was like, I'm just going to get my head down. And we didn't really make any proper profit for maybe 4 months. I think the best month we had for the first 4 or 5 months was maybe like £1,000 or £2,000 net profit, which, you know, is great, but it was never going to do the things that I wanted it to do. And then the hockey stick was quite drastic. So, you know, there were those times where I was, you know, keep plowing on and putting in those difficult, you know, whether it was waking up early or coming home from work and being like, yeah, I'm going to put in the time. And I hadn't yet really seen the rewards. And so I try and think back to that position. And yeah, sure, it's a different position trying to, you know, 3x a business that's maybe already in seven figures versus going from zero-ish to something. But it's still similar anxiety of like, you know, when I first started, it felt unfathomable to have a business that was doing seven figures. It now feels like, you know, 3 million now feels crazy, or 5 million or whatever, you know, the stuff you want to reach for next. It's like, geez, can I really do that? So yeah, I try and almost like say, right, that's in the hands of the e-com gods or whatever you want, and your only bit in this equation is just do the work and be a student, like constantly learn more, constantly better yourself as a business owner, and just trust that the rest of it will fall into place like it did in the first year, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think it's easy to get sort of, and I like that. I mean, one of the things that a session that Ben and I did at both our live events this year in Noosa and Minneapolis was, which you haven't seen, and I know Jaden hasn't seen this because he's in the UK and we haven't done this in the UK or released it publicly. We do a talk called Do the Work, right? It's literally that. It's just do the work, and we go through a whole list of all the things, all the, not even the big sexy things, just all the little things that we've seen successful people do that other people don't do. And it's literally just an accumulation of all these smaller, you know, fairly unsexy kind of marketing and customer service tasks and things like that, that when you put them all together and you do them consistently, pretty much anybody that does those things will be successful. Those talks actually will be coming out on the podcast in early next year. So people can hang out for that. But yeah, I like that. I really like that. Like focusing on, like trying not to, I guess, think about that bigger picture and really focusing on just, you know, what's in your control and doing what you can do and bettering yourself along the way, I think that's a good way to look at it. I don't think I've thought about it that way, but I think I like that. It's tricky to do, right? Not focusing on the numbers and constantly like analyzing stuff and
It's seriously hard. And everything is the first time we're doing this, right? I mean, even for you, as somebody who's been doing it for so long, whatever you're looking to achieve next is still going to be the first time you've gone there. It's always hard to picture. And we were having a chat on a mastermind that I'm part of, and all of us are in that similar position, sort of like trying to go from very low seven figures into the, you know, the next step. And all of us said, like, we just can't, whenever we look at the numbers on a page of like how many sales that is, how many visitors that is, like the traffic numbers, etc., we look at them and think, geez, can we really achieve that? And then we all go back and think, okay, right, look at your numbers right now. When you first started, did you ever believe that you could do, you know, 50 or 100 sales in a month? Did you ever think you could do six figure sales months? Of course not. That was like a pipe dream. So it's like, this is no different. It's just another step on the ladder. And then there'll be another one after that. You know, we'll hopefully hit those, and then there'll be the next dream that feels impossible. It's almost, I think the more you go through it, there's a nice freedom in releasing that control and being like, you know what, I'm just going to get my head down and the rest will take care of itself. I do appreciate it is easier to do this though from a position of a business that's already moving. I get that is a much harder thing to do for someone who's at zero right now, because they feel like they've got a whole lifestyle to change as well as a financial goal to hit, right? Whereas mine, to them, they might think, well, yeah, you're just trying to increase financial success. You've sort of reached that big goal, and I'll accept that, right? My biggest thing, in theory, if you'd have offered me this and then the business never grow from here, but, you know, basically I get to work for myself, my partner and I get that freedom. Yeah, I would have taken it. So I get that it's quite a nice position to be sitting here going, oh, I'm so worried about, you know, doing multiple seven figures. And that people are like, I just want to make my first sale. So yeah, just trying to recognize that and, you know.
Sure. And I think the hardest thing when you're just starting out is that you're kind of looking forward in time to reaching some of those points, you know, that you've described, you know, quitting your job, replacing your income, freeing up your time, being able to travel. You know, everybody's got a slightly different version of that they're kind of looking forward to. And you just want to get there so quickly, right? I think that's really the struggle that people have in the beginning, is they just want to be there. And so it feels like it creates an environment of false pressure, like to make that next sale, and you can't miss a sale or you can't miss a visitor. And if you do, you feel like, oh, it's just getting further away. And it's a big challenge. Like if you're sitting there and you're just trying to make your first sale too, you know, it probably does sound a bit easy to hear somebody a bit further down the track talk about it. I'm always mindful of that. I always have to stop myself and think, because for me, that was like, I mean, I'm going into my 10th year in online business this year, and it's kind of like, it gets harder to remember what it was like being that person just starting out, not having even made your first sale yet, and kind of relating back to how much of a struggle that felt like in the beginning. I think it's good to stop and think about it. And it's something I do regularly, even now, and actually look back and recognize all the steps that you've made, even if you haven't even made your first sale yet. Like I often tell people who have been, you know, they're in their first 30 days, just look back when you're at your 30th day and maybe you're just launching your business, you know, you're just getting it online. Take a moment just to think about where you are now compared to where you were even 30 days ago. And like people will be like, yeah, wow, I actually think about things differently just in that short space of time. And I'm like, all right, well, imagine what you'll be like in just another 2 months' time. Like, you know, if you keep doing this, like you'll do that, you'll see that much change again, just in the way you think about things and hopefully in your, you know, the results you're getting from the business and things like that. So, yeah, it's always good to stop and have a think about it. So,
for sure. I had it on a call recently where someone sort of, you know, they said to me, they're like, okay, but, you know, do you really think this is possible for me? Do you think I can really do this? And it was jarring for me to begin with, because I was like, of course you can. Because, you know, being on the other side, I now know and believe that anyone who joins the course, if they put in the required work, that they will. When you get the other side, you realize the hit rate is actually very high. And, you know, the more time you spend around, and I guess that's part of the thing, isn't it, is that the newer community spend time around everyone else who hasn't got started, I guess. And their peer group is generally people who don't run businesses, I guess. And so I remember being in that position where I thought that having a successful business was like a jackpot thing. It was like, you know, you hear all this stuff like, oh, X number of businesses fail, all that sort of thing. Mm. And you think like, okay, like I'm going to give it a go, but you almost feel like you're buying a lottery ticket a bit. And then you get the other side and you realize actually there's, of course, everything, you know, I wouldn't be arrogant enough to say there isn't some luck involved in everything, but I think the fortune and the luck just changes the timeline. So, you know, maybe the speed of success might have things to do with fortune and right places and stuff. But actually, the whether you're successful or not has very, very little to do with luck. And actually, it's just a case of is the time right for you? In like, do you have the pain or the desire that drives enough motivation to do the work? Do you have the commitment? Also, I guess, like, just are your life circumstances in the right place where you can commit to this and do this? And actually, that's the only stuff really that you need to align. But it was one of those that I sort of thought, like, what a strange question. And then I realized, actually, that's just a complete perspective shift. And you've got the benefit of being on the other side and seeing all these people. And, you know, you spend your days interacting with people who have been doing this for 6 months or 12 months or 2 years or 5 years. And yeah, they're all in a very successful place. So of course you look at it and think, yeah, as long as you stick at it and do the work, of course you'll make it happen. But then I had to rewind my thinking and be like, yeah, remember you were once that person who thought this was a one in a million, or maybe not that much, but maybe one in 100 or whatever, jackpot sort of punt. And it's really hard to change that mindset for someone who hasn't yet been through it and seen it. I haven't worked out how you do it yet, but it was a shift that I noticed through that conversation that happened in me.
Yeah. I think it's hard to do. I think the easiest way to make that shift is, and Ben and I had a discussion about this on a podcast episode we recorded lately. I'm just trying to remember the context of the conversation. I think we were talking about how over time, like kind of like our mindsets had changed, and like how did that happen for each of us? Because our stories in that are both very different. Very different approaches, and we've both done very different things. And he asked me that, I think, and I was like, had to sit there and think about it. And I think the quickest way you can change the way you think about what's possible for you is to put yourself in a community of people who are doing that thing, right? And you've mentioned it, like you currently spend time interacting with people who have been doing it, you know, for as long as you, longer than you, and you're seeing other people who are finding success with it and all that sort of thing. And I think when you do that, like you put yourself in, you know, there's lots of places you can do it. I mean, obviously you can do it in Dropship Breakthrough, but, you know, we have a fantastic community of people there who are doing this every day, and people at all stages, you know, people like Jaden who are, you know, sort of a year and a half in. We've got people in our membership who are doing this for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and everywhere in between. So, because when you hang around people, you start to realize, and I think this is what it was like for me as well. You start to realize, and you're like, hey, hang on a second. Like, these people aren't really doing anything special or secret. And there's nothing really that special about them either. Like, as in, you know, they're not geniuses. You know, there's no sort of like, they're just kind of people like me, you know, had an average job, you know, all that sort of thing. And so, I think it is kind of hard to do it without having the ability to interact with other people who have done it. Do you know what I mean? So answering that question of like, I don't think I can do it. Like, you know, like, cause I thought about that before I started business. I used to think part of my thinking that I can kind of remember, was certainly that I thought that like having a successful business meant you had to come up with like an idea, like something special. Like, you know, there was going to be some big light bulb moment, and you'd be like, aha, and now I'm going to start a business and I'm going to come up with this fantastic product that nobody has thought of before. Like, and so, but that held me back for ages, because I was like, I can't think of anything. What do I do? Like, I can't think of anything special. And of course, at some point I think I just went around in circles with that kind of thinking for like probably years on and off, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And then I was at some point, I was just like, oh, fuck it. I've got to pull my finger out and do something. And by that time, drop shipping and high ticket drop shipping had come across my radar. And I was like, well, I might as well just jump in there. And so, yeah, it took me ages to move past some of those thoughts myself in the beginning. And so I think, yeah, the quickest way is just to find people and go and spend time with them. Like, and they don't even have to be dropshipping people either. Like, literally just find people who are, you know, doing something similar to what you want. For people who run online businesses, people who just run businesses, right? There's all sorts of ways that you can interact with communities of people in the business space, because you just need to see, you know, when you see the people and you hear their stories and where they came from, it just starts to click in your mind And this is true for any sort of mindset shift that you need to make. It's not necessarily, this particular one. It could be anything, how you think about money, for example, or, you know, all sorts of things. Is just go and hang out with people who, or listen to, you know. I mean, one of the things when I was talking to Ben was I think I just listen to certain people who are way ahead of me and still are way ahead of me, like a lot. And I just kept hearing them saying the same things. And I think that just slowly shifts your thinking as well, just even going and listening to people who have made that jump. To me, that's the quickest way you can do it, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
Cool, man. Well, before we jumped on the show, I was talking to you. I wanted you to come up with a few things. And I don't know, we might have already touched on them. This has gone in a slightly different direction to where I thought it was going to go, which is absolutely fine. But I actually think of maybe like three things. You know, we've had you on a few times at different stages of your journey. You're now a year and a half in, I think, which is, seven-figure dropshipper, and that's where a lot of... still, every time I say that, I feel like laughing as well.
Yeah, I cringe.
Jane's the next seven-figure dropshipping guru, everybody.
My Lambo's just turning up. It's actually perfect.
sweet. Three things that, you know, looking back on that year and a half, that either were different to what you expected or were not what you expected, or just... three things that have kind of really stood out to you that maybe you'd love somebody who's, you know, at that early part of their journey, either just getting started now or thinking about jumping into high ticket dropshipping. Just three things that have really stood out for you.
Yeah. So I guess the first thing I would say is I didn't appreciate that I was going to become a business owner. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous. It's like, well, you're starting a business, genius. But I didn't realize that role. And it's awesome. It's been a real, it's been something that I never really appreciated was going to come as part of this. But it's actually my favorite thing now is being in that business owner seat. And by that, I mean, like having the relationships that I now hold and, you know, having a personal relationship with my suppliers. And actually a lot of the suppliers I work with are not these, you know, when I first started, I thought, right, I'm going to work with massive companies that are going to be faceless. I'm going to be relatively faceless. I'm going to have some customer interaction, but again, like the business is going to be relatively faceless. And ultimately it's going to be a case of employ tactics and strategies and make money, right? That was this idea I had in my head. And actually the business is very, very, very different from that. And in a really good way. And I love having personal relationships with suppliers that are actually these relatively small companies. Some of them are like family run. Some of them have been doing it for 20 years. You know, you speak to them, you meet their partners, whatever it is. They're people you actually want to make money for. And you get to the point where you're as important to them as they are to you, and you're growing together. And that's seriously cool. It's a lovely way to feel. Feeling like you're part of something, I guess, a little bit more than just this faceless person on the internet making money almost, which is, I think, sort of sometimes how people perceive e-commerce as a business model. It's like, yeah, it's great. You just, you know, location independence and, you know, sit back and rake it in sort of thing. And then the same thing with customers. Like it's been awesome to have, you know, really strong relationships with customers. And again, like I always thought of acquiring customers as something that happens in paid marketing or happens in organic search. Mm. And actually, again, like acquiring a customer by actually caring about them and actually like seeing what they're trying to achieve. And then I can now sort of feel a little bit when I'm on the phone to a customer, I can sort of feel in our interaction, like, okay, this person's on board. They don't know what they're going to buy necessarily yet. It might be brand A, it might be brand B, or it might be whichever of the products, but I sort of feel like they're going to buy from us now. That sort of trust has happened. So that's the first thing, is that I didn't appreciate that sort of side of things, but it's been one of the most enjoyable and fulfilling parts. I actually, thinking back now, if it was this sort of like faceless online business thing, I think that would get really boring really fast. Like, sure, there's an appeal in the anonymity when you've got imposter syndrome right at the beginning and you think, oh gosh, that's all quite scary. But actually, when you've been, you know, a year when you've been running your business feels, it flies by, but it also feels like a really long time. And that person I was in month one feels miles away. And so, yeah, once you've lived and breathed your business for a year and lived and breathed your suppliers and the market, you actually, you do start to feel like an expert. And so those interactions start to become really cool. And it's still a nice moment when a supplier, I think I put it in the Slack recently, one of our suppliers is going into a new product category and it's our best selling product area. And he gave me a call, the business owner, and said, would you mind if I flew you and your partner out to Germany just to have a look at some of these products that we're developing and give some feedback? And I was like, shit, that's so cool. That was still a real nice moment of like, someone actually cares about my opinion on this stuff, sees me as someone, you know, of note, I guess, in still a pretty short time. Yeah, and I think I've tried to recently reflect on how we got to that stage with some of our suppliers where, you know, we're to that point of value. And I think it's just a build up of, I would call them one percenters, but probably even smaller than that. It's these like tiny little things. And again, like that's sort of what we were talking about earlier, where it's not the things that you can write down in a strategy or, teach it. It's just actually by virtue of spending time in that and seeing how other people who have been doing this for longer, how they sit in that business owner seat. And yeah, just consistently doing that you start to think, okay, I can't really see how that's all come together, but there's been so many different interactions between whether it's customers or suppliers that sort of got us to that point. And it makes it very exciting for thinking of where that could be in 3 years or 5 years, et cetera.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Relationships are like probably one of the number one things here, right? In having a successful business. And once again, it's not like an online business, and you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people think it's a bit more of an impersonal business model than a traditional business model. But I think, yeah, definitely that's not the case. Relationships are like they're key to any business. It doesn't matter what you do. And so, yeah, I would strongly like recommend that people listen to that part of the show again, if you like, but building relationships with your suppliers and customers, which once again, I think you're right. There's not really like a thing that you teach, this is how you build relationships. It's just kind of like be a human and like interact with people, show people that you care. Like it's even small things like just like, I think a lot of people, when they think about like talking to suppliers, it's like they approach it from a very sort of transactional perspective. Like, I'm only making this call to you so that I can extract this thing from you, like a better margin or a access to a product or something like that. When sometimes you should just call up your suppliers and have a chat. They'd be like, "Hey, man, how are you going? Like, how's your business going? Show that you're actually interested. Like, what are you guys working on at the moment? You got any new products coming up? How about we get together? I'll come and we'll have a coffee and we'll sit down and have a chat." And, you know, actually meet each other face to face and just doing those things, I think, not only is it good just for business, but like it sets you apart from all the other online business people, particularly other dropshippers, because this is stuff that almost nobody does, right? When they're, you know, when, so you're going to have competition in your niche, you're going to have other dropshippers come in. And, you know, once again, things like building relationships with suppliers, certainly is something that most people are not going to go out of their way to do. So if you're the person that does it in your niche, you're going to find that starts to pay itself back to you. Not immediately, I don't think. It takes time, but like 6 months, 12 months, 18 months in, you're going to start to notice that there's, you know, some good things coming your way, I think, for sure.
100%. I'm trying to be careful not to come across unrelatable because I appreciate this is incredibly hard for someone starting out. But I now only do supplier outreach face-to-face.
Yeah, cool.
Which is easier for me, right? Because I'm not trying to get 20 suppliers, you know, in 1 week, for example, starting a business. And UK is a smaller country, so suppliers are maybe like max 4 or 5 hour drive for me. It's not a flight across to California or whatever. But for me, it's just a no-brainer now. And it makes it so easy, right? You just give them a call, introduce yourself and say, you know, hey, can we get something for me to come up and see you? And generally, that's a pretty small barrier, right? Everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, why not? You could have 30 minutes in my calendar. And and you go up there and, you know, I had it recently where I went up to see a supplier up the other end of the country from me. And, you know, I spoke to a couple of people and they're like, geez, you're going to drive 5 hours for a 30 minute meeting? And I was like, well, yeah, but it might become a relationship that we have for, you know, multiple years. And yeah, it was amazing. Like the guy, it was a family run business. I met his dad who started the business like 30 years ago. Then he was the managing director. His son worked in the warehouse. Like I met him. He was talking me through his new Range Rover. Like They showed me some of like the first models that were made in like the 70s. It was unbelievable. Like, you properly got an appreciation. And also, I know now that me and the team, by me being able to communicate that, I'm actually planning to take my partner up there because I'm like, I just want you to see this. I want us to have seen the history that goes into these products so that when we're speaking to customers, we can actually give an appreciation for that brand. It was a really cool couple of hours I spent up there in the end. Like, and that's the thing, like, these people generally run these businesses because they're super passionate about them. And if you spend a year in a market, you'll become passionate about the products as well. So like, me and him are there geeking out with each other, like looking at all this stuff. And yeah, you come away with a really strong relationship and a lot of excitement about those products, which makes it so much easier to sell them authentically and write copy about them authentically, because you actually have that appreciation for them.
Yeah, cool, man. That's awesome. I love that. That's a good story. Absolutely. Yeah. More face-to-face with suppliers. And, you know, oftentimes there's some ways that you can kind of shortcut that a little bit. Once again, if, like, you know, you're in a larger geographical country and making those trips might be a bit harder, like trade shows, for example. You can go and put yourself in front of, like, you know, 10 suppliers in one visit kind of thing. And that's certainly something I'd recommend people do as much as possible. Like, if your niche has trade shows or conferences, or, you know, they're probably called different things in different places, but like, go to those events. You know, there might only be two or three a year in for your niche in your country, or there might be heaps in some niches, but get to as many of them as you can, because I think, once again, it's not quite as good as going to the supplier's actual location, like their head office or their warehouse or whatever it might be, but it's still a step up from just being a voice on the end of a phone, or even worse, an email. Absolutely. Cool. All right. What's number two on your list?
So probably the next thing I would say, that I thought of, I guess I've obviously had the benefit now of doing some coaching and working with people who are a bit earlier on. And I think one thing that struck me recently was the lens that you see things through. I'll tell a story. And basically, we were on a coaching call recently, and the guy is maybe two or three months in, and he's really struggling to move out of the sort of like two or three sales a month phase. So he's making sales and he's like, you know, marginally profitable, but he's like, you know, I really want, and like we were saying earlier, he's desperate for that next phase of growth. He's like, feels like he's proved the concept and he really wants to move forwards. And he was talking me through his numbers and he was saying, oh, I'm just convinced that I've got an offer problem. And he was really hung up on this offer problem. And he was saying, look, I've been reaching out to all these partners. I've been trying to, you know, really go above and beyond for his offer, which is fantastic, right? And I was like, that's awesome. He was telling me about some of the partnership things and that he was trying to do. And then he showed me his offer comparison. And I sort of said to him, I said, look, like, I love all the stuff you're looking to do with the offer, but my gut feel is that at the moment you've already got a very strong offer. There's no one that I look at and think, oh, you know, that's where I would buy from. I was like, can we go back a step and have a look at the traffic? And then we this is our first call. We looked at the traffic and we saw that essentially his impression share in his high priority, which conscious don't want to talk, you know, in a way that's alienates people who haven't done this part of the course, but basically where his low purchase intent traffic was. So like, if he was selling saunas, it'd be the people searching for sauna or infrared sauna. He was getting all that traffic. He was, you know, 80% plus impression share. He was absolutely hoovering it up. His bids were quite a lot. That's where all his spend was coming. And so he was saying to me, look, you know, I'm getting, you know, all these visitors, but they're just not converting. My conversion rate is clearly the problem. It's the offer. But actually his high purchase intent traffic, his impression share was really, really low. And basically there was next to no spend in there at all. And I just, you know, we just sort of looked, and I think it from there, it was just that quick fix of going, the problem isn't yet really in the offer and what you're trying to offer them when they land on the page. It's the quality of customer we're sending to the page. And that seemed really obvious for me to work through it in that, like, check the traffic's right first, then check the offers right. And then hopefully, you know, if those things align, we get the sale. He'd gone straight to, well, people are landing and they're not converting. So it's a conversion rate optimization problem. And so had spent, you know, a long period of time, and sure, that's going to pay back, right? He's now built a really sophisticated offer, so it's not time wasted, but it was, nope. he was working in the wrong place for his immediate goal, I suppose. And it's something that seemed so obvious for me. And then I sort of, I reflected on it. I was like, actually, I can totally see how he got to that place. Like, that's actually a really easy assumption to make, that traffic's coming and it's not converting. But yeah, it showed me the value of that, being in and around that business model for a bit longer. And, you know, even just consuming as much content as you do as part of doing that, that, like I said earlier, just becoming a student and knowing that if you dedicate your time to becoming a student, that you'll then do the right things in your business and get the rewards. So yeah, it was quite a good moment where I was like, okay, I now see the value of where I've been to where I've now come through, and hopefully where I'll be in whatever, you know, 2 years and then 5 years, et cetera.
Mm. Yeah, nice. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very common jump for people to make, is going from I've got traffic but it's not converting, so it must be a problem on my website or offer in this case. Most people who make that jump usually just go to straight to there's something wrong with my website, like as in design or something like that, which is a further step. It's funny, so many things in this business model, like when you've been around business for a long time, if you've kind of, like you said, been a kind of student to it, and I'm a bit of a marketing nerd myself, it's amazing to see how many things are the same across all businesses, like from a conceptual and kind of higher level perspective. So that the steps you've gone through is like the 40-40-20 principle, right? Which is, you can Google this, Google 40-40-20. It goes back to like the days of direct mail, when the way that people sold stuff like in the 50s, 60s and 70s and stuff was like sending things into people's mailboxes, and they'd be sending them like the equivalent of an e-commerce website, but in paper form, right? And then people would look through and there'd be copy on the pages and images and blah, blah, blah. And I really can't remember the name of the guy who came up with this. I used to remember it. I can't remember. So I'm sorry to him, but if you Google it, you'll come across his name. It's like Ed someone. Anyway, and so it's like anytime you have a conversion problem, there's, you know, like if you take the chance of a conversion happening out of 100 and split it into 40, 40 and 20, those add up to 100. Traffic, offer, presentation. And so this is what they learned doing direct mailers. Is that, you know, if you're sending it to the wrong people, then it doesn't matter how good the offer is or how good the presentation is, it just won't convert, right? But if you send it to the right people and then you're not getting sales, then the next thing is the offer good? Because if you're sending it to the right people, the offer's bad, it won't convert. And actually that 20, the design, which is how we design our websites, is actually the least important. So if you've got good traffic, good offer, it really doesn't matter how bad your website is, it'll probably still convert. Right, at a good rate. Mm-hmm. And that principle, I mean, it's still true today, like, you know, probably, where are we, like 60 or 70 years after this guy cooked it up. It's absolutely true. And that's something we take people through in Dropship Breakthrough. So it's interesting to look back and think, like, that's immediately where my mind goes to now whenever I have this conversation with people, and that's what I take people through. But mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something you develop over time, I think, looking at things in that way. That's really cool.
It leads me quite nicely, actually, into the last thing, which is offer related. And it's one of the things I like to rant on at the moment. And to be fair, like, I look back at my first like offers when I was first running my site, and I think, like, you were so bad for this. But, like, you know, I first went through, okay, what's my offer going to be? And it was like, right, yeah, okay, I'm going to. Map's not really a thing here in the UK, so maybe I'd try and have the lowest price, and, you know, then you've got lowest price guaranteed plus all over the website. And then, oh, well, I'm offering free shipping, I'll, you know, pat myself on the back for that, what a great bloke. And then, you know, and probably give them the free gift that's a piece of shit that I don't really want as well, that isn't very related. And I'm like, oh, I got the best offer, like, oh, I can't believe I'm not making sales, you know, hand over fist. And now all of that stuff is, don't get me wrong, I try and have an equivalent lowest price. I try not to be beaten on price, because I do think that's a big barrier for customers. And fair enough, like, if I was shopping and I loved the company and then there was another one that was average but it was 250 quid cheaper or whatever, yeah, I'm probably going to save myself, like, if it's a tangible amount of money. So, but I see price as a baseline, like, that's just something you have to tick the box on. And then the offer is so much more than here's this shitty free gift or whatever. And I personally would rather someone make an offer with like a promise than with some piece of crap that they've sourced from somewhere else. And like that promise could literally just be, I promise to give a shit about you, you being the customer, for the entire time that you have this product. You know, if that's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I promise that we'll still be here. And, you know, if you have a problem or an issue or you need some help using it or whatever, and obviously you'd articulate this in a different way on your website, but, you know, can you get some, you know, user reviews of where you've got to live this, right? But if a customer does call you a year later and goes, oh, you know, I'm actually trying to do something with this product, I'm struggling with it, like, are you going to help them? Are you going to get them the answers? Like, are you going to, you know, for no more financial gain, you know, are you just going to look after them? And that's, I think, really important, is you're in the business of selling the end state that your product achieves, not selling the product. And so almost just being there, like, look, we've said to you this whole way through, you know, we're selling to the person behind our niche. We're trying to help them achieve that. We'll commit to doing that the whole time. And, you know, once we drop that product off with delivery, we're not going to disappear, because a lot of people are scared of that, right? They're scared of spending a big sum of money and then they have a problem and, you know, shock horror, the person who sold it to them has now disappeared. Or, you know, it's really uncontactable because there's no money left in it. So that, I think personally, I think that's a better offer than probably 90% that you see on e-commerce sites. It's just, I promise to give a shit about you. Or can you show that through your sales stuff? So like, we sell products that go into people's homes and people have to visualize them. We now try and do sketches and CAD renders for our customers of like, here's, you know, send us some pictures of the space. We'll mock up the products in there, show you how it's going to look. And our conversion rate on those is worlds apart from anything else that we do. Like, because a customer believes that we've taken the time to care, because obviously we have to get the requirements, right? We have to sit down with them and, you know, over the phone, of course, but understand, okay, like, what's going on? How do you want to use the space? Like, how are you going to use the products? All that sort of thing. What else might you be doing as part of this project? So they feel like we actually care. We give a shit with what they're trying to achieve. And, you know, that can be our offer. Okay, sure. I guess our offer is also that we're maybe going to spend 15 minutes mocking this thing up for them and, you know, doing that drawing. But really, I think the offer is that we're going to care about you and we're going to help you achieve that end state. And yeah, like that's another thing, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that's not the sort of thing you find, I guess, in like a tactical guide or whatever. That's just something that, I guess, by virtue of speaking to hundreds and hundreds of customers, or maybe thousands of customers, you're like, I get what they really care about now. But it's not that they care about that rubbish £50, I don't know, ice bucket that I was going to send them. They care about what they're going to spend £2,000, £5,000, £10,000 on. So if you care too, that's going to go a long way. That was a pretty big rant. That was a pretty big soapbox. But yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would not disagree. I think, once again, it's, you know, going back to that sort of relationship thing with your customer as well. I think people we have a tendency with online business, once again, to overlook that a little bit. And it's really literally like, yeah, if you can... yeah, show your customer that you really care, but and give them a great experience, and not just like trying to make the sale. I mean, it's obviously very important then, but even after you make the sale as well, like the biggest marketing channel out there is actually word of mouth, right? You can't do it quickly, absolutely. It's not like a marketing hack thing that you can just turn on. You've got to make sales to get word of mouth. And to get a lot of word of mouth, you've got to make a lot of sales over time. But that's going to happen if you stick with it. And so if your customers come away from the whole thing thinking, yeah, man, those guys are really fucking awesome, and they really care, and their experience continues after they've purchased from you, then they're literally going to go and tell other people about your business. And that's like pretty much 100% free marketing right there. Do you know what I mean? And it just goes on and on. And then those people talk to one person, that person buys from you, has a great experience. They talk to two people, those two people go and talk to two people. And like, that's, if you can do that stuff really well, like I'm really big on the post-purchase stuff, things you can do there. You know, there's a whole bunch of simple things you can do there to get people talking about your business and showing that you really care. It's just not stuff that online businesses do very well. Like some do it, but I think there's a massive, massive opportunity there right now, particularly people selling high ticket products, to really And it's hard to think about this right in the beginning. And maybe you don't even necessarily need to be super focused on this right at the beginning when you're just trying to make your first sales. But building like a post-purchase plan into everything that you do, like with your customers. So like, you know, simple thing you can do is, you know, after you know a customer's got a product from you, like whatever time frame that is, 2 weeks, 1 week, whatever, give them a call. See if they're happy. See if they're having any difficulties. See if you can help them with anything. You know, if they're happy, you can ask them for a review. You can get way more reviews doing that. You know, there's so much you can do. Like, and there's a lot of specific stuff depending on your products that you can help people with as well. But yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah,
it's a big thing. Glad you said.
Yeah, no, I agree. Sure. You make a good point that it's something to be careful of at the beginning, because I'd hate to see someone go, oh, Jane and John said I've got to have this whole thing built out, and now I need to spend ages building all that, and it's really formal. Because I think people do fall into that trap. It's like when you're early on, actually, that's the best time to do it, right? Because you've not brought that many sales, so don't worry about formalizing it. Just live it, like you say. Just you know, don't worry about writing it down. Don't worry about having a process. Just literally live it. Call that customer. You know, even maybe call them and say, like, look, here's my mobile number. If you've got any problems, like, give me a call. Obviously, that's, you know, personal preference if you're comfortable doing that, but. Yeah, at the beginning, just live it. And then when you have enough sales that you're like, okay, this is starting to stretch me pretty thin now, then you can maybe look at how do I turn this into a bit more of a process. Yeah,
100%. Yep. I don't even pretend like there's some, needs to be some uber simple plan. Like, think about it. Like, I challenge anybody to sit there and think about, after you bought a product from an online business, any online business you've bought from, doesn't have to be a dropshipping business, you know, any online business, think about how many of them did you hear from after you bought something from them. Like, and I don't mean you like you just got into their regular email marketing in your inbox sort of thing. Like, yeah, we get that happens, right? But like, how many of them made you feel like they were going out of their way to make sure you were happy, or that you were okay, or that the product lived up to expectations or whatever? I would almost guarantee that anybody actually thinking about that, you will struggle. You might come up with one or two examples. Like, I'm literally standing here right now. I think I can think of maybe one or two examples still, right? And it's not like we're at the stage where e-commerce is some new shiny thing. People have been doing this for a long time, right? So, you know, you always want to be looking out for where are the, once again, the where's the path less trodden? You know, that can really make a difference to my relationships, to my suppliers, with my suppliers, we've mentioned, with your customers, we've mentioned. And I think these are the things that build really awesome businesses over time. It's not like how good do you run ads, or, you know, how well do you do this marketing hack tactic thing, which a lot of people seem to fall into. Those things are important. But I think these things we're talking about are even more important. Cool, man. Well, that's awesome. You mentioned earlier that you've been doing some coaching. So I don't think we've necessarily, our members know this. Maybe not all of our podcast listeners know this, but Jaden is a member of the Dropship Breakthrough team now. And he's we've just recently, I don't know what the right word is. I wouldn't say launched a new coaching program, but we've got some coaches now in our Dropship Breakthrough membership for our members who are helping our students grow their businesses. And Jaden is one of those, part of our first coaching team, along with Holly and John Murphy, who will be on this show again in upcoming episodes. That's pretty exciting. I'm excited. Means I have to do less coaching, but it's also, I mean, it's really cool for us. It was a really important thing to do to start broadening our team out past just Ben and I, because we have a lot of people like yourself who are doing awesome things who our students could also be learning from. And it just helps us to be able to get one-on-one with more people and you know, do the thing that Ben and I were really setting out to do when we started Dropship Breakthrough, which was help people to go through the life change that we went through as a part of building one of these businesses, which is the life change that you've gone through as well. So this is why, like, this is like such a, doing these episodes is such a thrill for me, because literally that 18 months that you've just gone through is the 18 months that I went through nearly like 9 years ago now. And that's exactly, you know, you started that here at Dropship Breakthrough as well. And that's literally the primary reason why Ben and I started this. And now we've got people like yourself, like Holly, who have been through that, who are now able to start helping our students, other people to go through that. I think that's amazing. So, I'll publicly thank you for doing that. I think it's it's cool, man. But what was your kind of motivation for wanting to jump on as a coach?
Yeah, very similar, to be honest. It's one of those things I think people will massively appreciate when they are the other side. You'll find that when the people who are maybe beginning now, if they're a year or a year and a half in and they've launched a business that's changed their life, and whatever that reason was, whether it's they want to spend more time with their family or their kids or, you know, travel, whatever it is, when they've achieved that or started on the journey, I don't think any of us ever feel like we've truly achieved it, when they've like got to a really monumental place on that journey, like I feel I have, you're desperate to help people do the same thing. And it's actually seriously fulfilling if you do have, and to be honest, like it generally is quite a small part of that. Like I'd never ever, even people like, you know, worked with a couple of people, we've done like 8 or 10 sessions, and even then, you know, it's still, they are massively doing the work and making that happen. But if you've just been able to help them, just, you know, guide them in the right direction a little bit, and they get that, you know, they maybe send you a message in Slack and send, you know, just to say to you, look what I've just done, or look, I've just done my first whatever 50k month, and you know, you remember how exciting that was. And yeah, it's a cool journey to be a part of. Seriously, cool journey to be a part of. It's also nice, like we say, just nice. Awesome. We're nerds, right?
You know, if you've been listening to Jaden talk, and you'd love to learn from Jaden as well as from Ben and I and everybody else in our group, now's a great time to join. Our end of year sale is on right now, and if you'd like to chat to somebody about joining Dropship Breakthrough and starting your own high-ticket dropshipping business, if you're in the UK particularly and you'd love to hear somebody's experience, somebody who's built a successful business in the UK dropshipping, and yes, you absolutely can do that. It's not just an American thing. You can even jump on and have a chat to Jaden before you join the program at dropshipbreakthrough.com/Jaden, which is J-A-Y-D-E-N. You'll find a link to that down in the show notes as well. So yeah, feel free, jump on, have a chat with Jaden about what it's like to be in the program, what it's like to run one of these businesses, and how you can get started too. And he'll be happy to walk you through that, I'm sure. All right, man. Well, thanks once again for being here. It's always fun to, it's nice now we've got kind of like a series. People can like really see that 18 months, you know, go back, listen to episode 189. To, if you want to contrast the sort of things that Jaden was talking about after 10 months to 18 months. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode 1. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.